with Psalm 126, used to be our favorite song. Really.
Yeah.
Today is forgotten. So sad. 40, 50 years ago, we were really burdened. The Lord will free the captives, and He did. Today, nobody has any more burden for Psalm 126. People are even afraid to talk about Babylon. Afraid to offend people talking about Babylon. Yeah. It's amazing. How can we love Babylon? How can we be afraid to talk about Babylon? The Lord hate Babylon. That's why the judgment for Babylon is more serious than some of the judgment in the world. It's a special judgment that God prepared for Babylon the Great. That whore, the mother of whore. Babylon becoming the house of all the hateful birds, demons. Right. That means before it became Babylon, it was not like that. It was the house of the living God. And then after it fell, according to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, right, when the Lord spoke so clearly to them, and yet they would not listen. And they became Babylon. And God, but of all the hateful birds, all the demons, all the evil things. So why are we afraid to talk about it? Why are we afraid to tell it as it is? And to show that in the book of Revelation, there is a special judgment that God has prepared. Heaven were not rejoicing when God was judging the beast and all the terrible kingdom of the beast, but all the angels and all of us, if we were raptured up there, everybody was shouting hallelujah and praise the Lord, because that great whore Babylon was burned up in smoke. Why don't you see that? Instead of rejoicing, seeing that it went up in smoke, we are afraid to offend Babylon. Ha! I can't believe that. This is what happened to Stuttgart. Don't talk about Babylon. You're going to offend people. What is that? You're not afraid to offend God. You're afraid to offend Babylon. Mm-hmm. Right? We changed. They changed. I didn't change. But they changed. Right. So we all need to wake up. We all need to wake up. Right. To see that in the book of Revelation, the judgment of Babylon is a very special and serious judgment. Right. Don't take it lightly. So it came in a very special remembrance in the mind of God to judge this great whore. Yeah. So, don't talk about Babylon as if it is just a doctrine. Right. is a captivity. It is evil. So there's a special judgment reserved for her. So if you really see and feel it in your heart, what is Babylon, then you will have a reaction the same as God's reaction in your heart and in your feeling. But today, no more. It's just a theme. Even people are afraid to talk about it. It might offend them. Hey, strange. What become of some of us? And you look at LSM, they're now trying to reconcile the body. And they became a part of Babylon. Right. In Taiwan, they even try to join in a crowd and put out a big page of publication together with Christianity against certain groups, etc. They want to be recognized by Babylon. They want to be a part of the system. Because they want to sell their books to them, right? And before he passed away, he even apologized to the whole of Christianity, right? Why didn't he apologize to us? He apologized to the whole of Christianity. He repented to Babylon. How about that? So, may the Lord really deal with us in our heart in a real way, not just a talk about Babylon. I can't stand that. I'm not against talking about it, but it's not adequate. We are living in a time of judgment. The judgment is coming. It's around the corner. Not just talk about it as a topic. Right. But we really need to see God's judgment of Babylon will bury in your sins. We don't have to be formal about it. Right? You can share, you can ask questions, you can. Get into it. Talk about it. And start. Yep.
Should we read these verses in Revelation chapter 8?
Might as well.
18?
18. I think it's good that we can read. John's been sharing a lot about the special judgment that God has reserved for Babylon. It'll be important to see what is it that he will do. So I think Revelation chapter 18 would be good to see what kind of a judgment it is. So let's read Revelation chapter 18, 1 through 8.
These things I saw another angel coming down from heaven,
having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and injured bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her.
In the measure which she glorified herself
and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and am no widow, and will not cease in sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her.
We don't realize or we don't see the seriousness of remaining in Babylon, then we will end up like verse 4 says, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. I know in my experience in speaking to Christians and actually even in preparation for this weekend, if you spend time in these verses, there should be already a reaction within us to warn God's people. But yet, for some reason today, everybody is, we don't want to offend. Okay, we share with them about the church, we share with them about the coming kingdom, we share about so many things, and yet no one wants to come out. No one wants to come out of their situation. And then we just kind of let it go in that sense. We don't have that sense of urgency. But if we read on and see that her sins have reached heaven and God has remembered her iniquities and rendered to her just as she rendered to you and repay her double according to her works, that means this is quite serious. This is not something that will just be taken lightly. This is God's judgment on Babylon the Great. And we need to see this and have this sense of urgency. Otherwise, let's just talk about it. Your Christian friends, our Christian friends, if we don't come out of Babylon, if we don't see this, remember, when you see this chart here, when the Lord takes the first fruits are only a minority of the believers. It is a small part. Most of the Christians will end up having to live through the last 3.5 years known as the great day of the wrath of God. And it is in this time that you'll see the judgment of Babylon. And so, if this doesn't wake us up to speak in a strong way, then I don't know how we would then continue to go out there to sound the trumpet, to call. call the people out. So it's good to read these verses, pray these verses, and say, Lord, open my eyes. And give me this consciousness of the kind of judgment that will happen upon Babylon. Right, so may the Lord really wake us up in this way. Shouldn't be afraid of offending people, but how do we share it in such a way that people don't feel attacked?
Are you attacking them?
No.
Okay, then why are you afraid that people will feel attacked? You're just speaking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We're not attacking people. But we're speaking the truth, the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even your concept of people feeling attacked is already wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell people they are sinners, they need salvation, and you're attacking them,
No. But
they feel attacked. So how are you going to share it without them feeling attacked? Say they are sinners, right?
Yeah.
Tell them they are just not that good. And you know, oh, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and then you will have prosperity, you'll get a blessing, you'll get eternal life. Then you don't feel attacked, right? How about that? Are you afraid people feel the attack? You're not attacking them. Speak the truth. And if they think they are being attacked, you tell them, no, I'm not attacking you. Why do you feel attacked? I'm talking about the system. You feel attacked because you're in the system. I'm talking about what the scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you're being attacked, then the scriptures must be attacking you. Why do you feel attacked?
Mm-hmm.
Right. The word of God said so. Instead of feeling attacked, you should be thankful and come out of goodness. Nobody's attacking you. If you have some dirt here, and I tell you, oh, you got some dirt here, Vince, oh, you're attacking me. Nobody's attacking you. I'm telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So that you go and wash your face. Who is attacking you? Or would you rather nobody tells you and just look at you and laugh at you? Is not right.
Yeah.
We are not attacking anybody. We are just speaking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's attacking.
Right.
But what the scriptures said concerning Babylon and what it is in Revelation chapter 17, it is very, very clear. It's talking about, firstly, the mother of harlots. poor. At the end of the Bible, you have two women. One is Babylon, the other one is Jerusalem. One is the bride, the holy city. And the other one is Babylon, the whore. What is the difference between a whore and a bride? Right. And who is that whore? Well, first of all, you have to see. It's talking about a city with seven hills. This is Rome. Definitely Rome.
Yeah.
And it's talking about Vatican. Right. And then here you can really see. He was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, precious stones, and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup, but yet it's full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. There is a description. Who is he talking about? Even the Catholic, the Pope, the Church, Catholic Church, the Rome, Roman Church. They admit they are the Babylon. This is what they're talking about them. No secret. But they are not shameful. They will tell you, so what? They are so great. You can call them anything they like. They won't even give them a dent. That's why Hillary is so thick-skinned like an elephant. You can say anything about her. It doesn't give her a dent. She doesn't care a bit what you said about her. All the WikiLeaks and she's a liar, she's crooked, she's a witch. She does this and she does that. And a pathological serial liar. It doesn't matter what you said about her. She doesn't feel anything. That's what they feel. They admit, yes, so we are Babylon. So what? You're not Babylon. How many are you? We are Babylon. We have millions of people and followers. How about that? You say we are Babylon, the people are not going to run away. Same thing about. Right. But we are sharing the truth, hoping that some who really love the Lord and seeking for the truth will wake up and come out. Mm-hmm. And because if we don't speak the truth, nobody will come out. Right. So learn. You all need to learn. Our attitude is never to attack anyone. No. But our attitude is to share the truth, what Babylon is. And God is going to judge Babylon, okay? Right. If you're unhappy, then you should be unhappy with the Bible, with what God said. If the Bible talks about gay, don't say I'm attacking them. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? You don't believe the Bible, it's your problem. It's not mine. But Hillary says we have to change the beliefs of the Christians. Well, are you going to change? We cannot change. Somebody in Florida just put up the sign of Satanism when they're celebrating Christmas there in Florida. And somebody purposely put out the sign of Satanism. And that caused such a big stir there. Can you imagine? Unthinkable before, okay? But now, hey. And then the news is defending them. They have the freedom of speech. And that person, I don't know from which news media now, saying that we have the freedom of speech to offend people. Since when do we have the freedom of speech to offend? That's not democracy, you know. That's not freedom. I have the freedom to kill you, right? You know, this is not democracy anymore. This is demonic. This is not democracy. It is demonic. So, if we talk about bombing, we are not trying to offend. Mm-hmm. We're trying to share the truth of what the Bible says. To help people, mm-hmm. not to attack people. If you think like that, then you will never preach the gospel properly, because you're afraid, oh, people might think I'm attacking them, or I'm offending them, or... No. When the Lord was on this earth, was he attacking anybody? No, but he was being attacked. But he's just there speaking the truth. And that's what we are doing today, to speak the truth in. Because we want people to be saved. We want them to repent and turn to the Lord. That is what we want. Right. So we need to learn how to share this with the believers. They say, you're criticizing other people. I said, no, I'm not criticizing other people. I'm just sharing you what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. If you say this is not talking about religion, then what is it talking about? Even the Roman Catholic Church admitted that it's talking about them. Now, why are you defending? And there is a mother, there are many daughters. Who are the daughters? And what is a whore? A harlot? There's no faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Can have relationship with any man. For gain. For profit. But a bride there is faithful to the bridegroom. Holy. She's not great, but she's holy. Mm-hmm. And here is great, but full of abomination. Mm-hmm. And outwardly it looks good, yeah. But it's deception because the content is full of abomination. Mm-hmm. Roman Catholic Church is full of abomination. Right? Even a present Jesuit pope was there. Francis, I tell you, if you know what these people are believing, the hair will stand. Right. So, you need to see it. You know, you talk about a snake, it's not there. But if you have a cobra right in front of you, you won't talk about it. Either you kill it or you'll be killed by it. You're going to run away. You're not talking about a snake. As if it's not there. Okay, if it's not there, we can talk about it. So we are touching something that is very real today. Yeah. And this is why many times our gospel preaching is not effective, because we are just talking objectively. Hmm. And if you talk objectively, you will not convince anyone. And so what if they understand what you're talking about? It doesn't change anything. Anyway, all of these should show us in chapter 16, for example, right? And the great Babylon, verse 19, was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. That means it is a different chapter, a different judgment altogether, the judgment of this world. God reserves this judgment especially for Babylon. And this is why chapter 17, come, I will show you not the great harlot, but the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. And of course it says there in this chapter, in the many waters are many people, many nations. And sure enough, Roman Catholicism rule over many, many nations on this earth. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. Right. Right. The Roman Church has so much relationship with the kings of the earth, political relationship, economic relationship, all kinds of relationship. Right? It has 90 emissaries sent throughout the whole world. It is a little nation in itself, that little horn. But it's not that little. It is little, and yet it rule over the kings for over 1,000 years in the Middle Ages. So she was riding on the beast, the political beast. Right. So you have to really see what this is talking. So he carried me away in spirit into the wilderness. Here she is in the wilderness. It's not a very good place. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So this beast, full of blasphemy. Right. And so here you can see that the woman is sitting on the beast. That means she controls this political beast. All the way until the time of Napoleon, the Roman, the papal Rome, the papal church, Roman church, have such great power over the kings. Yeah. It's really amazing. Mm. This is that little horn that chapter 7 is talking about. Right? And she ruled exactly a time, times, and half a time. And there it talks about 1,260 years. Right. And the Roman Church really ruled exactly 1,260 years. It's really amazing. Then it no longer became the political power at that time. And so here is Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots. She's the mother and of the abominations of the earth. Roman Catholic Church has a lot of abominations. A lot of idols. The worst abominations. So we all need to see this and be able to tell people, what are these abominations? So many idols, so many mysteries of Satan, so much mixture. Right. So we need to tell people. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Right? So, history tells us the Roman Catholic Church has killed countless, innumerable numbers of Christians in all these 1,260 years. The worst torturing machines, machineries, were invented by the Roman Catholic Church to torture the Christians. It is terrible. And actually, the only pope who admitted was that Polish pope. That Roman Catholic Church has murdered so many Christians throughout the centuries in the Dark Ages. No other pope would admit it. Hey, it was announced, it was in the newspaper. Right. And he admitted to the world, yes, the Roman Catholic Church has murdered so many Christians. Drunk with zeal, the souls of those who were under the altar, crying out to God, when and how long are you going to wait to avenge our blood? So the Lord is waiting until this time to avenge the fierceness of the wrath of God. The Lord is going to really turn them into smoke. And he is going to use the beast to tear them apart and to eat her flesh. So, all of these are recorded here for us to see. We all need to see the evil of this whore. Lion in verse 12. And the 10 horns which you saw are the 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet at that time. But they receive authority for 1 hour, very short time, 3.5 years, as kings with the beast. And these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. In verse 14, and these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Yep. Then he said, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits, these are people, multitudes, nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot and make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give the kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. Right. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth, and that is the mother of her. That's Rome. Right. That will be for the king. We have no imagination how terrible this judgment will be. Yeah.
But some will say, this is just the Roman Catholic Church. That doesn't apply to Christianity.
But I say already to you, she is the mother. The mother must have children, right? The first time a pope visited, which pope was that, I cannot remember anymore, visited the Church of England and gave a speech there in the Anglican Church. And in that speech, in that Anglican Church, I think it was in Westminster Abbey, he said openly, the Church, the Anglican Church is the first daughter of the Roman Catholic. The first daughter. Who is the second? Who is the third? Who is the fourth? And who is the youngest? How many children do you think she has? And today she is calling all her children to come back. And the Pope is saying, hey, the Protestant churches, all the evangelical churches, they have to close shop. They all need to close down. She's claiming her daughters to come back. Yeah. And who knows what this pope will do. She's trying to unify all religion on this earth. Praying together with the Islamic priests. And the Orthodox priests. Gathering them together. He's praying to Allah with them together and inviting his Islamic, what do you call them?
The Muslims,
the leaders there, to come and worship together. Why not? What's the difference? So at the end, you don't know which God you're worshiping anymore. Right. This is what's happening. And, this guy is the first Jesuit pope. And he's going to be the last. The first and the last. And there's a lot of internal conflict. Special breed. You may not know the Roman Catholic too much. Well, we will have a lot of fantastic shows that are coming. Be prepared to be entertained. A lot of things will be happening.
So we have an understanding of this, but how are we supposed to share it with someone who's in Catholicism that this is referring to the Roman Catholic?
Tell them, you ask your priest. They will tell you. I don't need to tell you. You go ask a priest. Who is this Babylon the Great in Revelation 17? Well, the priest will say, it's us. God keep it from them. Ask the Pope. Ask some of the bishop. They know. And they're not ashamed to admit it. It's talking about us. I don't need to convince them. You may need to convince the evangelicals that they're the daughters, but you don't need to convince the mother that, the Roman Catholic, the Roman, universal Roman Catholic Church. Since when is the Church Roman? So no need to convince them. Go and read up. Google it. Yeah, it's talking about us.
Can we review the points of the doctrines of Nicolaitans? So for the Christians today, how can we show them that there is a system, that they don't need to go to the pastor?
Yes, because in the book of Revelation, firstly, the names that are mentioned there are not real persons. Like, for example, Jezebel, right? Mm-hmm. And Jezebel is not a Jezebel, the wife of Ahab. Well, definitely not. She was dead a long time ago. And even eaten by dogs. And so she fell down from the window and her blood is licked by the dogs and eaten by the dogs. They couldn't even find her body to bury. I don't know, maybe one of those politicians today ate her up. Dogs would, yeah. Right, so we're definitely not talking about Jezebel. So then what is Jezebel then talking about? It's talking about a spiritual Jezebel. And then you have to go back historically to see what that woman did. Right? So it's not talking about a real person by the name of Jezebel in Thyatira. No, there is no such person there in Thyatira. Even Thyatira and all the names in those seven churches have a spiritual significance. And then Balaam. Well, Balaam is not talking about the Gentile prophet at the time of Moses who taught Balak what to do, you know. Gave Balak evil advice to corrupt Israel. Right? So that Balaam is already long dead, okay? So the doctrine of Balaam there is not talking about that Balaam. So what is the doctrine of Balaam? The doctrine of Balaam means that that Gentile prophet, he was a prophet, but he is not even a Jew. He is a Gentile prophet. Right? So it's very strange that a Gentile can be a prophet. Right? But he is a prophet. He was a prophet, but he was a Gentile. And it's so strange. Just like if you're not a Levi, but you became a priest, then how can you be a priest if you're not a Levi? So there's something wrong, okay? If there is something wrong, of course there's something wrong. That's why Balak will go to him and not to Moses, right? Or to Joshua. And says, Joshua, come. I'll give you some money and you can prophesy against the people of God. Mm-hmm. Right? Joshua will draw his sword and chop off his head. But Balaam, saw all the money. Oh, wow. Riches, gold, silver, right? So much riches. Why not? But yet he was a little bit afraid because he knows God. God is real. So he went to ask God. Stupid, okay? Stupid. He's really stupid. Okay, I don't know. He's a dumb prophet. Went to God. Stupid. He's a dumb. He's really a dumb prophet. Of course, what do you think God will say to him?
No.
Of course not. So, and that dumb prophet went back to Balak and says, sorry, Balak. I cannot do that. And so Balak thought, I didn't give him enough money. So he doubled it. Okay, or maybe tripled it, I don't know. But he gave him more. Okay, let me ask my boss again. So he went back to God. The dumb. He's not just a dumb, he's a dumb. He went back to God and asked God. Sure, I can do that. So what did God say?
Go.
That's why I learned. If God tells you one time, no, please, don't go back to him again and ask him. Because he's not going to tell you twice.
Right.
And the second time, you go, he knows. You want to do it. So he tells you, just go. You just do it. But then, if you go and do it, you will die. A donkey is wiser than that dumb.
Yeah.
That's the first time that a donkey spoke in tongues. It was a real Pentecostal. A real charismatic. A genuine charismatic.
Yeah.
So that's Balaam. Balaam means you prophesy for money. Just like so many pastors today. Mm-hmm. They're hired. By Balak. And so if you're hired, then you cannot speak the truth, right? You have to speak what Balak wants you to speak, right?
Exactly.
Not what God wants you to speak. But what Balak wants you to speak. What Balaam did, he could not because God controlled his tongue, right? And his lips. So what came out was blessing. And Balak was really mad. So he has to do something to appease Balak. So secretly, he taught Balak. He gave Balak a good advice how God will really get angry with his people. You send your women there and mixed up with the men, and then God will be angry with them and judge them and slaughter them. Well, you have to give Balak a good advice, right? You take people's money. You became a billionaire like somebody here in the States.
Yeah.
You became a billionaire. You have to do something for them, right?
Something.
Give them weapons, bombs. You have to. So, that's Balaam. Okay? You know now who Balaam is.
I do.
How about Nicolaitans? You don't know, you never heard. There is in history no such group of people called Nicolaitans. You cannot find them in the history. So, how are you going to find out who the Nicolaitans is? But you know, like Ephesus has a spiritual meaning because there is, the name has a meaning, right? The desirable. That means the church in the beginning is really desirable. Right? The bride of Christ. You have the first love. But then she lost the first love. Right? Smyrna, myrrh, came from the word myrrh. Sufferings and death. They were martyred. Or, right, and then you go to Pergamos. Behold, lo, marriage. So that means instead of now the bride of Christ, you get married to the world. If you lost your first love, you must love somebody else, right? So, then you go and marry somebody else. That's what people do today in Hollywood. Right? And that's the gossip. The big gossip of Hollywood is somebody married somebody and now divorced and now they married somebody and he married somebody. And so is with the church of the Lord. Right. So you can really see now from this word Nicolaitans. It came from, you know, it's a name. And this Greek name comes from Nikao, meaning to say to conquer or to rule over. And Laos means people, the common people. To rule over the common people. That means there is a group of people who think they are higher. They are above the law. Somebody also here, that woman thing is above the law, right? And ruling over the people, you're nothing. You all have to listen to me. And this is the clergy lady, the whole shop, right? And then you have the priests there, the whole hierarchy of ruling over the poor Christian. You don't know anything, just listen to us. This is the clergy lady system. Pope says, hey, I am the vicar of Christ. I'm the deputy authority of Christ. Somebody I knew also said that. He's the deputy authority of Christ. So you don't need to go to Christ. You just go to the deputy, right? If I'm the deputy of Christ, and you have a question, who do you go to?
Christ.
No, but I'm the deputy. He's not there, I'm here. You don't see him, right? You see Christ?
No.
Oh, you see me? Yeah, and I'm the deputy. you don't understand the Bible, so read my book. you read my books and read my notes and then you'll understand the Bible. And people say, I read his books every day. Oh, why do you read that book? Because if I don't read his life stuffies, This is what it's all about. You don't need to read the Bible. Just read the catechism, okay?
Right.
Bible is so thick, and you don't understand anything. You're not a learning person. You're not a theologian. You're not a priest. So we just already made a, you know, concise and revise and we've in just a little book with a few pages, you just learn that the 10 sacraments, 7 sacraments, and that's good enough. That's good enough. And you pray to Mary, okay?
No.
Of course, hey. Jesus is a man, and his heart is too hard. But the mother has a soft heart. You pray to Mary, and Mary, the mother, who will tell, listen to the mother, this son will forgive you.
Wow.
How about that?
That's what she did in Cana.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she did in Cana.
Yeah, that's what she did in Cana. Yeah. They didn't go to Jesus, they go to the mother, and the mother told Jesus, hey, but they forgot Jesus says, woman, what do you have, what do I have to do with you? The Lord did it not because that woman, the mother, told him to do it. But he did it as a sign. There's a spiritual sign, a spiritual meaning. Right? So, well, these Nicolaitans, the evil of Nicolaitan is that at the end it replaces Christ. Mm. And it kept all the children of God in darkness, in ignorance, knowing nothing. And they replaced the headship of Christ. Who can replace Christ? And then in Pergamos there is another name called Antipas. Mm-hmm. You know what Antipas means? What is anti?
Against.
And pas.
Against everything.
All. Against everything. Mm-hmm. But he got killed. He became a martyr because he's against everything. Because there are so many things that are wrong. You cannot agree with what they are doing in Pergamos. So you can really see that in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you have so many names there that have spiritual meaning. And then at the end, you have Laodicea. Laodicea means what? You have the word Laos, right? Niko. Laos, right? Nikao and Laos. Laos means what?
People.
And Dike means the opinion or speaking of the people. So at the end today, like we see in Europe, everybody now can say anything they like. You can have your opinion, and I have my opinion. That's the way I understand the Bible. The way you understand the Bible, the way I see it, I don't agree with you. And then, my goodness. Everybody can interpret the Bible their own way. It's the opinion of the people today. Mm-hmm. Just like the democracy today. Human rights. I have the right to offend you. I can say anything I like, eh? This is the age of Laodicea. And so all of these things there in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 shows us that if we continue in that way, all together, this plus this plus this plus this plus this plus this plus this and plus that equals Babylon. The great. Causes all the division, dispersion, confusion. Nobody understood what you're saying, and you don't understand what I'm saying, and you do your thing, I do my thing, I go my way, you go your way, just like the Tower of Babel. So, clear?
Okay. Sorry, I didn't know it was so late. This is Babylon. Mother with the many daughters. I hope that we do not become the youngest one.
Oh Lord.
This is why you follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Don't follow the mother. You follow the Lamb. We are for the building up of the new heavenly